I'm going to have to preach this like God's given it to me tonight. And if I don't say much, it wouldn't be the first time. And so we're going to go through with what we're going through with what God's given us. And maybe the Lord will put a little bit of meat on the bones, and we won't have to leave here totally starving tonight, okay? Maybe God will give us something from the Word of God. I hope that He will. Hosea chapter number 2. We're going back to Hosea, and we're going to be in chapter number 2 tonight. And take a thought from verse number 3 there. I want to read the first 3 verses. Take a thought out of verse number 3. And try to preach on a very, very solemn and a very serious thought for all of us tonight from the Word of God. Okay? Hosea chapter number 2. Now I want to begin reading in verse 1. Say ye unto your brethren, Ammi, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked, and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. And so let's pray and ask God to help us tonight. Our Heavenly Father, as we stand tonight, we stand in great need of a divine visitation from above. I pray that You'll breathe on my soul tonight the Spirit of the living God, and fill me, I pray, with the Holy Ghost. And may the wind of heaven blow through this place tonight and help us all, I pray, to surrender our hearts and minds and lives to the very will of God for this next hour. May Your will be done in each of us. I pray for Your divine presence. I pray for grace. I pray for mercy. I ask You, Lord, to glorify the Lord Jesus, the presence of us all. May we see You tonight high and lifted up and seated upon the throne of glory. I would ask You tonight, Lord, do a special work in those that are sick, those that are away from us. Give them divine healing strength and power. We'd praise You for that. We ask You to help Your people leave here tonight rejoicing. We ask You to help us tonight, Lord, as we preach. Again, I'm in desperate need of that special power of God. Grant it, I pray, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I want to take our thought out of verse number 3 tonight. I've been trying to preach through from time to time out of the book of Hosea. I'm not the scholar that some men are, and I'm not really finding it as easy as what I thought it might be preaching through this particular book. But it is very rewarding. I think it's a tremendous book in the Bible. And it's a picture of Israel and in their backslidings from Jehovah God. It is a picture of them as they continually try to move forward. And they do for a while, and then eventually they backslide and fall back into sin. And the Lord said in chapter 1, He said, I'm not going to show you any mercy anymore. I'll not be your God anymore. And you will not be my people anymore. But he ends that chapter by making a very bold statement because of His covenant. He said, yet in verse 10, there will be a number of the children of Israel, and they shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where I said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall ye be said unto them, there shall it be said unto them, ye are the sons of God. Now that's a tremendous statement. That can only happen through the mercy of God and by the grace of God. When God says, you're not my people, and I'm not your God, that He turns right around and says, in this very same place, you shall be called the sons of God. Amen. Of course, we know the Lord is looking down the road a number of years. in this particular statement that he makes there in chapter number 1. When he comes to chapter number 2, he asked his last two children, Ammi and Rahama, if they would plead, with their brother and plead with their sister, that their mother plead and said, plead with your mother, for she's not my wife, and neither am I her husband. And here's what he says. He said, let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. Here's what I'm preaching on tonight. There's four thoughts in verse number 3. But the first thought there, the Lord said, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born. Now, I want to tell you, that is a very solemn and a sober thought. The Lord said, if Israel does not repent, I'm going to set her like she was in the day that she was born. I'm going to strip her naked and set her just like she was in the day that she was born. And it does appear from the statement that I just read to you that Israel, when she was born, was in a very, very low spiritual condition and living in a very pitiful state. May I say that's the way we were when we were sinners and lost. Before God found us, we were in a very low condition, a very pitiful estate in our life. We were living a life of misery and didn't realize it till God opened up our blinded eyes and we saw how miserable life really was for us. And we were pitiful. You can't imagine, and I don't believe many people really get a hold of the fact of how ungodly and how sinful that a person is viewed in the eyes of God before they're ever born again. If God could give us a glimpse in the mirror of the way we were and the way we are now, we'd see a great transformation that has taken place within our lives. It goes on, I believe, to say that God had lifted her from her sinful condition and had even decorated her with many ornaments. But now, he says again, he'll strip her naked and bring her again into the same condition that she was in before. Now, I want to say that is a warning. That ought to be a warning. It was to them, and it ought to be a warning to you and I. I don't know about you, but I have absolutely no desire, no want to go back to the way I was before God found me and before God saved me. There's no way I want to live the way I live without God. As the song said, I have found my pleasures all complete when I met the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought I was having pleasure in this world, and I was. And there is pleasure in that sin for a season, but it only lasted a short while. But I'm going to tell you, when Christ found me, I found the work complete. And I rejoiced in the Lord that He loved me enough to save me from that pitiful condition that I was in. And I never want to go back there. And I'm going to tell you, that's what always has bothered me about the nation of Israel. If you read in the Old Testament and read the accounts of that nation, you'll find that when they come out of Egypt, and I believe that's when he's referring to here, in the day that they were born, is in the day that they came out of the house of bondage out of Israel. But when they came out of Israel, they were always looking over their shoulder. There were more of Lot's wives in the nation of Israel than what you and I can imagine. Every time a little problem occurred in their life, they always wanted to go back to Egypt. Let us go back. It would have been better that we'd have died around the flesh pots than out here in the wilderness where there's no food and there's no water. And no matter what happened, they always blamed it onto the preacher, onto Moses. It made a difference what they did, how sinful they were, they always blamed it on the man of God. But they constantly looked over their shoulder until there came a day when God led them back out into the wilderness, and they died. Those that came out, they died in the wilderness. That's right, because of their unbelief and because of their sin. But you and I know that Joshua brought those that were 20 and younger after 40 years over the river of Jordan and into the promised land. And there they found that land that flowed with milk and honey. You know, before Joshua died, he made them make a choice. He said, you choose the day whom you're going to serve. The gods on the other side of the flood, the gods in this land, are the Lord. He said, makes no difference to me, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And you know, until Joshua died, and all the elders that was with him in that day died, Israel served the Lord. You know, and I want to run a rabbit track right here. Brother Steve and I was talking Friday. And he said, preacher, you know, I've thought about this a long time. And he said, I wonder what I would do if God ever moved you from here. He said, I wonder if I've got the grace to go on and serve God, or am I following you? Have I made all my spiritual decisions based upon what you believe? May I say, if you've done that, you've done wrong. Amen. Your spiritual decisions need to be based upon your love for the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to that Bible. But it's sad to say that in many churches, when the man of God that has plowed the corn and hoed the rows and kept her clean, buddy, when he is gone, many of the people do just like Israel. They drift right back into sin and go right back to that old life that where they were living. But apparently, God still loved them. They were God's covenant people, and God still loved them because he gave them. He said unto them, hey, unless you turn from your sin, I'll just read it as it says it. He said, let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. If you don't do that, he said, I'm going to strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born. I'm preaching tonight on this thought, back to the way it was. Back to the way it was. I've seen a lot of people take that road back. Many of them, I think, have just got away from God and God will deal with them over it. But many of them are apostates. They'll die in their sin, and where Jesus is, they cannot come. But I'm simply telling you that that is a solemn warning to that crowd. If they turn back, God said he would strip her naked and make her just like she was in the day that she was born. Now, I can't imagine, I want to reiterate, I can't imagine going back that way and living that way. But I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you'd be amazed at the people that are like Israel that have went along with spiritual things for a while, and then for some reason or another, they fall out with God and drift away from the church. And by and by, their spiritual condition winds up just exactly like Israel did. They're in spiritual whoredom and spiritual adultery, and they're far, far away from God. And the sad part of it is that many of them that leave go and attach themselves to apostate churches that will let them live there in their sin and never rebuke them because of their sin, nor deal with that sin in any shape, form our fashion. I won't say that about our church. We may not always dealt with it the way people think we should, but we've always dealt with sin at Island Ford Baptist Church, and we're going to continue to do so as long as Brother Hall's here. Say amen right there. Now he said, I'm going to strip you naked, and you're going to be just like you was the day that you come out of Egypt. Now, just like the day you were born. Now, I've got to take it slow here for a while. May I say that I believe the likeness to their birth is the day that they came out of Egypt. But I think a perfect picture of it is painted in Ezekiel chapter number 16. I want you to turn your Bibles there and follow with me. This is what Israel, this was the appearance of Israel in the day that she was born, or he was born. Whichever one, I call it she, God calls it she and he part of the time. But this is what Israel looked like in the day that she was born. He said in verse 1 of that chapter, he said, "Again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying," that is unto Ezekiel, "Son of man, call Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth," listen carefully, "thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan." But all this next statement I've never been able to figure out until it comes time for me to preach this message. He said, "Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother was a Hittite." Now, you and I both know that their father and their mother was Abraham and Isaac, ladies and gentlemen. They were not no Amorite, neither were they a Hittite. But God lays that charge to them. He said, your father was an Amorite and your mother was a Hittite. I wonder why about her parents. The first thing he talks about is about her parents. If you're going to talk about the birth of a child, you got to talk about their parents. And here's what he said your parents were like. Your daddy was an Amorite and your mother was a Hittite. Somebody said, why, Brother Hall? Well, the Amorites seemed to be the chiefest of those nations in Canaan. And they were the very most sinful people there. It's almost like God is saying to them that your sin has elevated itself to the sin of the Amorites. You have gotten yourself in such a spiritual condition that your sin has elevated itself till it is as bad as the Amorites in the land. Your father was an Amorite. Hey, they were pagans. They were heathens. They worshipped idols. They lived in adultery. Spiritual adultery. You hear, Brother Howell, Miss Hall said, "I got some food on my cuff. I didn't wash it off over here or there." But they lived in a spiritual adultery. And you know as well as I do that spiritual adultery and spiritual whoredoms is worse than many sins that people commit today. Somebody said, "Oh, are people committing those sins today?" I believe that they are. Amen. They're going after gods that are not God. Right. Some of them have eyes, but they can't see, and ears, but they can't hear, and a mouth and a throat, but they cannot speak. And I'm telling you, people are going after them. People are going after idols of money, idols of possessions, idols of power, many different gods in this world. Amen. Many men are going after the applause of other men. Come on in the house. Am I saying amen? I just saw where Benny Hinn now. Y'all read about Reverend Hinn? Bless his heart, isn't he such a wonderful fella? They've done proved that they cannot find one person that can actually say they were healed at one of his healing conventions. Not one. Not a one. Not a one. Not a one, ladies and gentlemen. They'll say was healed. Hey, and by the way, he was going to England. England said, "You're not coming over here." He's done frauded the government out of hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of taxes. And he calls himself a man of God. I mean, you'd be surprised at the people that will run to him, and in that religion, they'll really think that they've got something. They've got a man of God that has the power to heal and touch them, when in reality, there's nothing going on physically or spiritually, either one in their life, and their God is an Amorite. Their daddy is an Amorite. That's exactly right. Amen. They've turned to apostate religion. That's right. They went after the whoredoms and the adulterers of this life. Now, he says, and your mother was a Hittite. Why a Hittite? Rebecca said in Genesis 28:46, she said, I'm weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. The daughters of Heth later became the Hittites. And Rebecca was weary of her life because of them. And here's the reason why. Hey, she feared that her little boy Jacob would marry into that race of people. And I'm telling you, that race of people, according to history, was some of the vilest people that ever lived upon God's earth. And she was afraid that her boy would marry into that crowd. Oh, and I'm telling you, hey, they were vile, they were wicked, they were paganistic, they were heathenistic, they were ungodly, they served other gods, they worshiped other gods. Hey, I'm telling you that God said, your daddy was a Hittite and your mama was an Amorite. That's how sinful that Israel had gotten herself into, and he likened her parents to an Amorite and to a Hittite rather than to Abraham and to Isaac. And here's so many words. He said, if you do not repent and get back to where you ought to be with God, he said, I'm going to strip you naked as it was at the first. Amen. I'll strip you naked just like you were at the first. That's exactly right. Now, y'all hold no skin. Amen. That's right. Now, although Israel had been 400 years in Egypt, now listen carefully, under grievous afflictions, yet they continued exceedingly abominable and wicked under afflictions. What was supposed to tenderize their heart had hardened their heart. Can you understand what I'm saying? In fact, the fire of the furnace that hardened the bricks where they worked, their hearts were as hard as the fire of that furnace had hardened the bricks. So hard were their heart. In other words, the fires of affliction had not changed them. That amazes me about people today. You would think that the troubles that we're facing and the afflictions that we're in America and in our families and our homes and our churches and the trouble that we're involved in would tenderize our heart, turn us to God, cause us to repent, get back to God, get back to serving God, and rather than doing that, the fires of affliction that God is putting many of us in is hardening our hearts just like the fire hardened the bricks in that furnace down in the land of Egypt, ladies and gentlemen. May God have mercy on us. Come on in the house now. May God help us tonight. I'm telling you, if troubles don't turn you to God, you've got big problems in your heart. If afflictions don't turn you to God, you've got big troubles in your heart. If trial and temptation doesn't turn you to God, you've got big problem in your heart. And there's Israel 450 years going through trial and tribulation and affliction. And rather than tenderizing their heart and turning them to God, it hardened their heart. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, how do you know that? Well, I'm fixing to show you. I'm fixing to show you here in just a little bit. Just hang right with me. I not only see their parents, but I want you to look at her plague. She was always full of sin. That's always a plague of God's people. It's always sin, ladies and gentlemen. Always sin. Hey, when God sent Moses to deliver them, they were stubborn and rebellious. Here's what God told Moses. He said, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of the land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, now listen carefully, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? You know what Moses was saying? God said, you go and tell Moses to let Israel go. And Moses said, Lord, I've spoken to your people. And your people won't even listen to what I got to say. And if your people won't listen to what I got to say, how in heaven's name do you expect Pharaoh to listen to what I've got to say? I'm going to tell you, before Pharaoh would hear it, God called him out and gave him a charge, him and Aaron. And he went into Pharaoh, and it took a while, but eventually, you somebody said, did Pharaoh ever hear it? Not really. Pharaoh hardened his heart until he died and went to hell. You can mark that down. Only you ever heard it. He pretended like he heard him a few times, but he never heard it. But here's the amazing thing. Now this could about make me run my head through a wall. Although they were stubborn, they were rebellious, they did not want to listen to the man of God. Oh, here is a blessing of it all. But still, because of God's covenant, guess what? God brought them out anyhow. Somebody's going to say, you're about ready to fall off the deep end, Brother Hall. Can you prove me wrong? Yes, sir. If you can prove me wrong, fine. You can't, smile at me. Amen. Now, I guess when God saved you and you got hey, that you were just all smiles and happy and trotted down to church house and said, praise God, I think I'll run down to the house of God and get saved today. You know better than that. Amen. Buddy, when God got a hold of your heart, you was as stubborn as a mule and so was I. And rebellious to the devil himself, and so was I. But because of mercy, because of grace, because of love, God, with cords of kindness, drew you and I unto himself that we might hear the word of God and be saved by the marvelous grace of God. That's what I've done for Israel. That's exactly what I've done for Israel. If he had done, if they had got justice, God would have let them rot in Egypt. And if you and I had got justice, God would let us rot in the world.
Amen.
You know I'm telling it right. But he didn't. Oh no. God went ahead and brought them out anyway. What grace. Brent, I'm telling you,
amen.
I truly marvel at the wonderful grace of God. Here's a, God said, hey, if she don't repent, I'm going to strip her naked as in the day of her birth. Take her back like it was. But still in his mercy, in Israel, he brought them out. What a glorious God. And we sat here tonight. That's God like a devil's moved in next door to us, and he probably has most of us. Like we've lost our best friend. Wonder what's going to take place tomorrow. I'm going to tell you what's going to take place tomorrow. I'm going to live for God tomorrow. And if Jesus comes, I'm going home. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do tomorrow. If God lets me sleep through the night, I'm going to get up in the morning, climb in that Buick, and head out toward Parable, Maryland. But if God happens to come during the night, don't look for me, friend, in Maryland. Y'all can have that car over there. Just come over there and get it, amen. Some of y'all can have the house, whatever you want. I don't care. I won't need the thing no more. I'm just saying, whatever's going to happen, hey, let it happen.
Amen.
I'm going to glory by the grace of God, amen. Now, I'm trying to hurry because I know it's late, and we spent a long time tonight trying to get started. But then I not only did I want to look at her, the plague of her sin, was that rebellion and that unbelief, that stubbornness? But I want you in to look at her pasture. Somebody said, what do you mean a pasture, Brother Hall? Well, a pasture is a place where we as sheep draw our nourishment. Is that not right? Sheep get in a pasture and they graze. Livestock get in a pasture and they graze. I want to look at her pasture. It says here in verse number 4, as for thy nativity, it was in the day. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, here it is, thy navel was not cut. Thy navel was not cut. Now, I'm not trying to be off color, but you ladies in here, and all, I think you men ought to be intelligent enough to know this as well, but a woman that carries a child, that child is nourished by that navel cord that runs from that child to its mama. That's what the food travels through. That baby is nourished that way. Well, God said about Israel, said, when I found you in the land of your nativity, your navel was not cut. Come on now, it doesn't take a spiritual man to figure that out. What God is saying is, you were still by your navel cord attached to Egypt. You were still being nourished from the land of Egypt. Oh, come on in the house. God said, although you were attached to that country and nourished by that country, hallelujah to God, when I saw you there in that condition, He said, I still set my love upon you, but I'm telling you, if you don't repent, I had the power to bring you out. I've got the power to send you back again if I want to. And He does. Am I listening now? And so she was still attached by the navel to the land of Egypt. That navel was not cut. I think they call that a umbilical cord. Is that right, Brother Doug? I sat in here one morning. I got my old tongue tied. And I said, I'm going to tell you what most Baptists need, bless God. They need an umbilical cord. That's right. Need to draw a little nourishment from that book. Amen. You know what that's equal to? That's equal to somebody sitting on a pew talking about how they're saved. And all the time they're being nourished from out there. Amen. They're being fed from the world. They're being fed from the ungodly. Amen. They're sitting on a pew, lost and without God, professing to know Christ, when in works they deny Him, and they're on their way to hell, being nourished by the world, and trying to deceive the people of God.
Amen.
Got to make them believe that. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on now. Somebody say amen. Boy, it's a rough one to preach on you last night. For 2 weeks, I'm telling you. Whew. Lord, have mercy on us. Israel had nourished herself on Egypt's manners, on Egypt's customs, and on Egypt's superstitions. You'd be surprised at Baptists that live that way today. Still living under worldly customs.
Right,
and I'm not... worldly manners. Worldly superstition. Oh, yeah. I want to, brethren. I want to preach on them manners a little while. Now I want to preach on them customs a little while. I'm telling you, we can't get away from them. We find them in every walk of life.
Right.
We find the world. Are you hearing me? We'll find a little dabble of the world in everything we set out to do today. Everywhere we go today, we've got to mix a little bit of the world in with it, or it just don't work for us. Buddy, I'm still here to tell you, when you get to the house of God and you get beyond preaching and praying and praising, you're out of the ballpark, friend. That's it. Somebody said one time, said, what have you got for my children? I said, preaching. He said, what have you got for the adults? I said, preaching.
He
said, what have you got for teenagers? I said, preaching. I don't, if you can take something else in this Bible and show me where God nourished them on something besides preaching and praying and praising, I won't know about it. I can't find it. But you'd be amazed at what people have turned aside to today. Amen. And call it godly. And some of the little religious exercises they go through. They're going to keep God in it. They think saying the word of God is keeping God in it. If it's done in a church house, it's bound to be godly. I'm going to tell you something. Catholics get drunk in a church house. That's right. They drink wine. I'd hate to think I'd put wine to my brother's lips.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever thought about this? I wonder how many teenage kids has got their first drink of liquor in a Catholic church or even in some Baptist churches. We've got some brethren in the area that we call Baptist brothers that drank wine in communion. I wonder how many teenagers got their first drink of booze in a church.
Right.
I know that don't That's not too exciting, but it's an absolute fact, ladies and gentlemen. It's an absolute fact. God help us. May God help us. I don't want our kids to come in here and drink liquor. I want them to drink from the fountain. Hallelujah to God. I want them to drink living water. Praise God. Drop your bucket in the well and drink from the well of grace, boys and girls. I'll guarantee you, you'll leave here rejoicing in God and being glad you did. I'm going to tell you, you'll never carry any water home till you drop your bucket in the well either. So drop her down in there, boy. Amen. That's right. God help us.
Amen.
Young people, go to the house of God and the pastor hands them a jigger of wine. I've never figured that out.
Amen.
I don't have it written in my Bible, but a young fellow come to one of the churches in the area and took it. Been up to a couple other men there before him I knew very well. They was on the radio station. They believed the same doctrine. They didn't cause me no problem. They never preached on that. That boy hadn't been there very long. He got up on his radio broadcast. And I don't know, one of the men may have called me or said to him something when he come in. I listened to it. And he said, well, a lot of people wonder why Peter and James and John were sleeping in the garden when the Lord was praying. He said, that's easy to figure out. He said, they'd already had two or three jiggers of red wine, And here's these, I quote, well, they were feeling pretty good by this time. You're going to tell them Peter, James, and John were drunks? And they couldn't pray because they were drunk and passed out in the garden? I don't believe that for a minute. And the same guy to me said, don't you believe the Lord turned the water into wine? I said, sure do. He said, see there, there's the answer. I said, no, son, I'm talking about biblical wine. I'm talking about the fruit of the vine. I'm talking about grape juice. He said, well, I believe it was real wine. I figured it up in my old Bible, them firkins, how many of them water pots, how many firkins of water they held. Now I'm telling you, I think I figured it up. It would have been something like 196 gallons of wine. You going to tell me that God gave 196 gallons of wine to somebody? I don't believe it. I will not believe it. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying God told Israel, if you don't repent, if you don't get your head turned from your whoredoms, get your head out of the breast of adultery, I'll strip you naked just like you were at the first, and you'll still be drawing your nourishment from the world just exactly like you were then. Oh, it can happen. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I don't believe it can happen. Well, what about Brother Peter? Well, Peter made this statement. Peter said, Brother Troy, that a man can get so far away from God that he can even forget that he was purged from his old sins. Now, that's Bible. I didn't make that up. That's in the Word of God. And if God says it, I'll believe it. That's why I said earlier, I would hate to go back to that. But I'm telling you, God said it in the Word of God. God said it that a man can get so far away from God. They had gotten so far away from God, they had forgotten that God ever brought them out of Egypt, that God had ever delivered them. They had forgotten that God had given them the new birth and God was their father. Hey, they're talking about an Amorite being their father and a Hittite being their mother.
Amen.
God is. Now I'm going to tell you, go a long way back, folks. It ought to be a solemn warning to you and I.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you what, I'm seeing people getting colder and colder,
yes,
and colder and colder and colder, friend.
Amen.
Oh, you can have a great spirit amongst people and still not be spiritual. I used to go to ball games before I got saved, Brother Gossett. And I'm going to tell you, when one of them teams would win, one of them big ball games like the World Series or something, I've been to Cincinnati and seen all kind of ball games. And when one of them would win a big game, I remember the year that Johnny Bench hit that home run over the right center field ball, buddy, and Cincinnati beat Pittsburgh at final game to go into the World Series. I'm telling you, they like to tore the building down. Hey, do you think they were saved? Oh, no. But I'm going to tell you what, they sure was happy. But they didn't have an ounce of spirituality about them. Matter of fact, hey, the only spirit they had about them was John Barleycorn. They were drunker than Hooter Brown. Amen. They'd been drinking more of that Hootie Pole, bless God, than they could just about hold. They'd done gotten moody on Hootie. Are you listening? They got drunk. And they were as happy as larks. But they wasn't spiritual.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, just because people are happy don't mean they're spiritual.
Amen.
Are you listening now? Even in their growth, as here in Hosea, they appeared to have been nourished more from their past life than from God. Ain't that right or is that not right? They seem to be nourished more from their past life than they did from God. Because, hey, God tells them, I'm not your God. You're not my people. Oh, because of my covenant in this place, there will be a people someday that will be called the sons of God, but it ain't going to be you. Come on now. Come on now. Don't turn me off yet. It ain't time to go home and it ain't time to pray. I'm just simply saying, are you listening? God's rope is a long rope. But he's got a noose on the end of it. And one of these days, hey, that noose is going to hang some people. Because they've got to let them go until they cannot go any further. They'll go until God says it's far enough. God will cut her off, friend. Amen and amen. I love some of these people around here, but I'm telling you, the churches I know around here are playing church. I don't care if they're hearing, don't make no difference to me. Now, I'm not talking about all of them, but the majority of them. They're playing with God. They're playing toy religious games. And one of these days, their little toy will break. Their little religious toy will break. They'll wind up standing on the abyss. Ready to be cast, or standing on the brink, ready to be cast into the abyss. You just mark that down. Oh, how sad. God have mercy.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, I hate to say it, but some of them are Baptists and some of them are independent Baptists. I've seen some of them that I believe in my own heart. I don't claim to be spiritual, but I've seen some that I feel that God has already stripped and shown everybody what they are. Their nakedness has been revealed. If we had opened up our eyes, we could see it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Better believe it, friend. Open up your eyes, you can see it. Yes, professors of Christ who appear to be saved but are not. And in their heart, they secretly desire the sweetness of their former lust. Are you listening to what I'm saying? These professors of religion, it's never been saved, and really in their heart, they desire, they've got a lust for the sweetness of that life that they used to live. They want to do the things that they used to do and live like they used to live. You know why? It's never been gotten out of their heart. It's still in their heart. God, hey, it's never been gotten out. And I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you and agree with this. Take it to the bank. I don't care what. You don't have to agree with it. Look up your strong concordance. Call your preacher friend. Do whatever you're going to do. But I'm here to tell you that there's many, many times that that chief sin, that pet sin, that besetting sin that was in your life before you got born again by the grace of God, God will make sure you face it somewhere down the road as a saved boy or girl, and you'll have to get over that, amen, by the grace of God.
Yeah.
I know I'm telling it right. There's a lot of people when they run up on that instead of getting it right, they let that biblical navel cord starts sucking from it. And they start lusting over it. That's why they fall back into sin. I had a preacher to call me the other day. And here's what he said. Brother Jerome.
Praise the Lord.
Here's what he said. He said, preacher, he said, I've known a lot of men of God that have been great men of God at one time or another in their life. And he said, I've known people in the church that's been great Christians, it seemed like, for years and years. And he said, by and large, many of them have went right back out into the world. And he said, I've found that those that have fallen into adultery were whoremongers before they ever got saved. And God brought that little sin across their path and they just threw out that navel cord. It don't have to be adultery. It can be a lot of things, folks. But you're going to face it. Somewhere down the line, you'll face it. And I hope to God that some of you is not as strong as what Brother Hall was. I hope you don't have the hope you didn't have the problems in life that I had. I mean that. Oh, may God help us. May God help us. God's not playing games. Let God be true and every man a liar. God is not playing games. Hey, if He told the apple of His eye, if you don't repent and get right, I will strip you naked and you'll be just like you was at the first. What do you think He'll do to us Gentiles? Do you think He'll let us get by with it? No. No, God won't let us get by with it. And I'm not really trying to be unkind. Like somebody said the other night, when you point one finger at somebody, you got three coming back at you. Can I say this now to you? We're all in the same boat. See here, Josh. Yes, sir. I believe old Josh is flesh.
Amen.
No doubt about it. How about you, Leroy? Shake my left hand there, buddy. Do I feel like I'm flesh?
Yeah,
old Leroy's flesh. Yep. He's flesh. I could shake every person's hand in here, and you know what I'd feel? Flesh!
Right.
And we're all clay. Every one of us is clay, 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 clay. Every one of us in here.
Amen.
Buddy, I'm telling you, we better be careful. Hallelujah, son. I'm in you. Shout it out. Bring him on up here. I don't care. Praise God, we need a little noise in here. Now, hey, they secretly desire the sweetness of their former lust. Hey, but the curse of the serpent is still on them. They profess to be saved, but they're still under the curse. Somebody said, are you trying to get us all lost? Oh, no, not on your life. I'm trying to enlighten you. I'm trying to cause you to dig in and keep on going for God.
Amen.
I'm trying to show you what can happen if we're not fervent in our Christian life. You can't drag along like you had dead and ever get ahead with God. You can't do it.
Amen.
It takes prayer. It takes reading the Bible. It takes worship. It takes labor. God help, I'm telling you. Some people think they're going to heaven by grace and therefore they don't have to do nothing. Well, I'm going to tell you something. James said, hey, you show me your faith without your works and I'll show you mine by my works, bud.
Amen.
He's not saying works saved him either. He's just saying that works is a manifestation of his faith.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, a couple more points and I'll be done. I want you to notice with me her pollution. Look in verse number 4. It said, as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. Now, this is Israel. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. In other words, she was still polluted. She had never been washed. Now, I'm here to tell you, if you've never been washed,
amen.
When he found her, she had never been washed. But thank God! Oh, I could just about shout on this one. I'm going to tell you the first thing God done when He saved her. He washed her. He cleansed her. He made her clean. Hallelujah. Woo, that's exactly what God done for Israel. That's exactly what God done for you and I when He found us polluted in our blood. Bless his wonderful name. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen and amen and amen. Amen. That's right. Now listen carefully. A newborn child, some of you ain't going to agree with me on this. How many of you in here ever seen a newborn? I'm not talking about a newborn after the doctors have gotten done with it. I'm talking about a newborn as it's born. When it's born. Brother Ricky, me, you and you together, buddy. I ain't about to either. I almost did one day, but I escaped it, praise God. I ain't telling. Wouldn't be polite. Would not be polite. I thought I was going to. But, Miss Donna, you said you had, I know you're not a preacher or a preacherette. Would you just stand up and tell our people, would you kind of describe what that baby looked like?
The baby's covered in blood. The baby's covered in a white mess. It's very ugly. It's very dirty.
It's covered in blood? It's got a mess all over it. It's got black stuff all over it. It's very ugly. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Do you realize that the heathen customs was, listen carefully, the Bible said there that it wasn't washed with water. I've got to say this. I'll try to time both in and preaching both at the same time. But the customs of the heathen was that when a baby was born, they'd look at that baby. The next verse in that said there was that she was cast out into the field. Cast out into the field. What it says in that? Ain't that what it says, Brother Jerome? Yeah, how you know? You ain't even read it. Read it. Tell me what it says. Read that verse. You find it in the Bible?
All right.
4.
And as for the nativity in the day thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supply thee. Thou was not salted at all, nor
wait a minute. Now, if Israel wasn't washed in water, that tells me that baby looks exactly that. He's telling Israel, "Hey, I'm gonna strip you naked, and you're gonna look like you used to look." Now, I'm telling you, he said, "When I found you in the field, you were a bloody mess. In fact, you were polluted in your own blood." Amen. That's right. You were vile and wretched looking. And amen. And to the loathing of your soul. He even says to the loathing of your soul. And nobody wanted you. None I pitied thee. Not nobody pitied thee. Now historians say that the heathen, when a child was born, they'd go in and look at it. And if that child had facial features, or its members of its body looked like that it was going to be a fair child, they'd wash that baby and clean it up and keep it. But if that baby didn't look like it'd ever amount to anything, if its face wasn't, if it didn't have a pretty face and healthy looking arm and body, they'd throw it out in the field. Somebody said, "Now, Brother Hall, Israel never do that. Is that right?
Right.
Have you ever read your Bible?"
Amen.
What on heaven's name was Moses' mama? What does it say about her when she looked upon Moses? What does it say, Brother Jerome? Said she saw that he had a fair countenance, and she hit him 3 months. If he hadn't had that fair countenance, you know what she'd have done with him? She'd have put him in the Nile River, ladies and gentlemen. But she saw he had a fair countenance. I'm so glad too, because what that tells me, his mama did not take on the nature of a heathen person. Oh no.
Amen.
But a godly woman, and she hit him. Then she hit him in them bulrushes, and you know the story? That wasn't long that there come Pharaoh's daughter, and Pharaoh's daughter found Moses in the bulrushes. But I'm gonna tell you about Israel here in Ezekiel. God said, "There was not I that pitied thee. You were polluted. You wasn't worth. You were cast out into the field. And there wasn't one eye that pitied you at all. Nobody. Nobody pitied you." Ain't that the way it was with us when we were lost?
Yeah.
No man cared for our soul. I looked on the right hand and refuge filled me. I looked on the left hand and found no man. And there was no man that cared for my soul. But thanks be unto God, there was one named Jesus, hallelujah, the care lover of my soul, that came into this world and died on Calvary that I might be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Bless his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, that is, he was polluted. He was polluted in man's own soul. Polluted, the pollution she resembled was a picture of the pollution of man's own soul. She was wrapped up in original sin.
Amen.
She was filthy. She was more filthy than a newborn in the blood and pollution of the womb. And I'm going to tell you something. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If it was not today for the godly love stirring and the natural affection in the hearts of mom and daddies, they would loathe the fruit of their own loins when they saw that baby looking like, come on, now you know it's a fact, but it's because of our natural affection. We look at that baby, and we're not looking at that baby as what it is.
Woo, 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 woo!
We're looking at that baby as what it's going to be.
Amen.
It's not always going to be a little baby with blood all over it and a navel not cut. It's not always going to be a baby that's not been watered and troubled. And someday, amen, it's going to be all cleaned up and decorated up, amen, and look like a fine young man or a fine young woman. That's what mommies and daddies see in their eyes. And that's what God's seen in Israel. That's what God sees in you and I. Amen. Bless his holy name. Now, I want to ask you this. Is there no fear in us of God doing this to us today? Is there no fear at all? Do we not fear God at all? Can we go on living our sins the way we are? Somebody said, I'm not in sin. I hope to God. But I'm telling you, there's more sin, folks, than adultery and fornication and the internet and television. You can just put that down in your little black book. I found out a long time ago, when you start dealing with man's heart, brother, you've got a job on your hand. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And God did not say that it's deceitful for a while till you get saved. He said man's heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And it is. And it is. Now notice this, and I'm closing. Her position. I'm just about done. But thou, he said, was cast out into the open field of the loathing of thy person in the day that thou was born. You know what God said in Hosea? How would you like to be back out in that field? How would you like to be found naked, just like you were in the day that you were born? Cast out into an open field. An open field. Wonder why it said an open field. Nobody there.
Amen.
No help there. Nobody living there. No. Just an open field. Cast out in it. Left to die. God said, I'll cast you back out there. I'll strip you naked and cast you back out into that open field. Now, stay right with me. I'm just about done. They were abandoned. Israel was abandoned. Israel was hopeless. There was none I that pitied thee. And they were helpless. Tell me, who can help a baby? Who can help a newborn baby? If it's left to itself, if its navel is not cut, it's not been suppled and washed with water, suppled, clothed, not been taken care of, how can that baby survive?
Right.
It can't. It can't survive. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When God found you and I,
amen,
we were helpless and hopeless. And I'm telling you, we could not survive on our own without Him.
Amen. Amen.
That's exactly right.
Amen.
But now listen here, and I'm closing right here. But God.
Amen.
Yes, woo, woo.
Amen.
But God. It said in verse number 6, and when I passed by thee, hallelujah, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And he went on to say, and I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxing great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. By thy breasts are fashioned, thine hair is groomed, whereas thou wast naked and bare. When I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love. And guess what? He said, I spread my skirt over your nakedness. You were laying there naked in that field, and I covered your nakedness up. Like a dead man, you'd have me. Amen. Said, I covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee. And entered into a covenant with thee. Entered into a covenant with her when he saw her in that polluted, filthy, nasty, wretched condition. That's what Ezekiel says. I entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou, hey, get this, thou becamest mine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You get a hold of that when God saw you and I. Boy, I'll tell you, polluted, miserable, and wretched. Dead! He cried, live! And by the grace of God, we were quickened by the power of the Holy Ghost and made alive! You better believe we were.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And He said, you became mine! He made a covenant with you. He made a covenant with me. He made a covenant with you. And
yeah,
just like the covenant of Israel. Oh, I'm telling you what. Israel has been a sinful people. But there's coming a day, ladies and gentlemen, in the near future, when the Son of God will once again take Israel under their wings. And they that pierced Him will even look upon Him.
Amen.
They'll know Him in that day. And in one day, don't ask me how and what's all going to happen, but in one day a nation will be born. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To God. Woo!
Amen.
Now, God passed by and gave her life. He spread His skirt over her. He covered her nakedness. He entered into a covenant with her. She became His. He said, I deck thee with ornaments and bracelets. But look at verse number 15. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty and playedest the harlot because of thy renown and pouredest out all thy fornication on everyone that passed by. His it was. And of thy garments thou didst take and deckedest thy high places with divers colors and playedest the harlot thereupon. The like thing shall not come, neither shall it be so. But after God found her polluted in that field and washed her and cleansed her, covered her nakedness, decked her with ornaments. But I could go on down and read to where it says that He put bracelets on, embroidered work. Put earrings in her ears. Necklaces around her neck. God decked her out and made her beautiful. And then once she became beautiful, she began to trust in herself. Isn't that just like a bunch of Baptists? Oh, we're so spiritual, praise God. We can make it on our own now. Hogwash.
Amen.
You ever get the idea you can make it on your own? You're headed the wrong way. You can't make it on your own.
Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches, and without me you can do nothing.
Amen. That's right. When you get the idea, you can make it. You head in the wrong direction. But God. When he saw her that way, cleaned her up, made a covenant with her. Now, I want to say this before I close. There's all kinds of ups and downs in Hosea. It will go from her playing the part of that living in whoredoms and adulteries to being God's wonderful people. Then they'll go back down the roller coaster. God will come back up on the mountain. It's all the way through there. That's why it's such a hard book to preach. It's hard to make a difference between the two all the time. And it's hard to explain to people how God, somebody said, well, God overlooked their sin. Oh, no. They're paying for their sin.
Amen.
They wound up in Babylon. Israel wound up in Assyria and never was brought back into the land of Canaan. Never was. Never. Judah wound up in Babylon. And I thank Benjamin. God brought them back into the land because his covenant was with them. And I was reading the other day about Jacob's wife. Would you believe that all the blessings and all the good things come out of the loins of Leah, the wife that Jacob didn't want? And all the bad things come out of Rebekah, all except Joseph and Benjamin. All the other boys weren't too hot. Judah came out of Leah. Sure did. Levi, the tribe God made high priest, came out of Leah. What a blessing. God said to him, said, if you don't repent, then I'm going to strip you naked. Just exactly like you were. At the first. Would you stand with me tonight?